Grace and peace to you from God our Heavenly Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Our sermon text this morning is the Old Testament lesson for the 17th Sunday after Pentecost. It's found in the book of Isaiah, chapter 50, verses 4 through 10. The Lord God gave me a tongue like the learned, an instructed tongue, so I know how to sustain the weary with a word. He wakes me up morning by morning. He wakes up my ears so that I listen like the learned. The Lord God opened my ear, and I myself was not rebellious. I did not turn back. I submitted my back to those who beat me, and my cheeks to those who pulled out my beard. I did not hide my face from disgrace and from spit. The Lord God will help me, so I will not be disgraced. Therefore I have made my face hard like flint. I know that I will not be put to shame. The one who will acquit me is near. Who can accuse me? Let us take our stand. Who can pass judgment on me? Let him approach me. Look, the Lord God will help me. Who then can declare me guilty? Look, all of them will wear out like a garment. A moth will consume them. Who among you worships the Lord and listens to the voice of his servant? Anyone who walks in darkness and who has no bright light, let him trust in the name of the Lord and let him lean on his God. This is our text. Dear people of God, last week I mentioned preparations for Christmas because Isaiah chapter 35 encouraged us to get ready for the Savior's coming. Well, today Isaiah takes us far away from Christmas. He takes us to Good Friday, as Isaiah clearly prophesies the suffering of our dear Savior Jesus Christ and encourages us to see clearly what happened then and to trust the one who endured all of those prophesied terrors for us. Christ is truly worthy of our worship. Isaiah begins our text talking about himself. He talks about where he got his words and teaching from. The Lord God gave me a tongue like the learned, an instructed tongue. He wakes up my ears so that I listen like the learned. This is one of the hundreds of times in Scripture that Scripture claims to be inspired, claims to be the Word of God and not just the Word of man. The Lord told Isaiah what to write. All of the intellectuals of our world reject this idea. Even the intellectuals that call themselves Christians. But I don't think they're very smart if they can read clear Scripture and not see what it says. Isaiah wrote God's word. And since this is prophecy, these words also have to talk about Jesus. And they do. For Jesus was instructed by the Father. Being the Trinity, they of course were completely unified the whole time. And Jesus had his ears open to the Father. But then Isaiah adds, I myself was not rebellious. Now that could fit Isaiah. After all, he did do what the Lord told him to do. He did write down the word of God. He did not run away from his job like Jonah did. But Isaiah was still a human being. He was a sinner. And there must have been a rebellious person inside of him, as there is inside of all of us sinners. But Christ fits this passage way better than Isaiah does. For Jesus knew the will of the Father, and he agreed with it 100% because it was his will also that he suffer for all people. And Jesus did not rebel in the least. He did not whine about his destiny. He didn't run away. He did not kill all those hired goons who came out to arrest him in the garden like he showed them that he could have. No, as Isaiah continues to say, I did not turn back. I submitted my back to those who beat me and my cheeks to those who pulled out my beard. I did not hide my face from disgrace and from spit. That's clearly no longer Isaiah at all. That could be the prophet Jeremiah. After all, he did also take a bunch of abuse from the Israelites of his day. But this is clearly Jesus Christ. 700 years before it happened, the prophet Isaiah describes what would happen to the Lord Jesus in some detail. This truly is the word of God, for we read from the life of Jesus, Mark chapter 14. Then some began to spit on him. They covered his face and struck him with their fists, saying, "Prophesy." The guards also took him and beat him. Isaiah continues, "The Lord God will help me, so I will not be disgraced. Therefore I have made my face hard like flint. I know that I will not be put to shame." We read that, and we think of Christ in the garden, when he was praying to his heavenly Father for strength, praying that the Father help him drink the cup of suffering that was before him. But these words also fit the prophet Isaiah. For Isaiah had his own set of problems and hurdles. For Isaiah was one of the very few faithful prophets of the Lord, prophesying destruction and hard days for Israel, while the false prophets in Israel were all prophesying happy days ahead. Well, which prophet do you think that the people liked more? Not the doom and gloom guy, even though he was right. See, people don't care when a prophet is right. What they care about is that the prophet tell them that their sinful lives are fine, that the Lord is happy with whatever they're doing. That's how you get paid in the world. So here was faithful Isaiah, asking the Lord to strengthen him to take the abuse of the people while he preached the true word of God. And this passage fits you also. Sometimes in life, you have to hit from the cart path. You scratch up your wedge and you end up in a worse place than you began. Each one of you has your own set of troubles. One person has health problems. Another person has health problems and family problems. Another person has money problems and car problems. And another person has money problems and sewage problems. Each one of you has your own set of difficulties, because each one of you carries the cross behind the Lord Jesus as you follow him through this life to the next, as he promised you would. The godless also have their problems. They just don't have anyone to help them in their problems. So don't think that the grass is any greener over there without the Lord. The one who will acquit me is near. Christ had his heavenly Father with him, blessing his steps and his efforts to suffer for you, to suffer to win your forgiveness and salvation. And this same Father, who made his only beloved Son suffer so terribly in your place, is the same heavenly Father who walks along with you, who guides and directs everything for you, who blesses you, his dear children. Who can accuse me? Let us take our stand. Who can pass judgment on me? Now that sounds familiar. The Apostle Paul did not just make stuff up when he wrote his letter to the Romans. No, Paul captured the flavor of this old prophecy in his writing of Romans chapter 8 when he wrote, "Who will bring an accusation against God's elect? God is the one who justifies. Who is the one who condemns? And if you remember, Paul then answers that question. Who is the one who condemns? Who is the judge of all people? Who will stand on the earth on the last day and decide who gets to go to heaven and who is cast into hell? It's not me, and it's not you. Paul's answer is Christ Jesus, who died, and more than that, was raised to life. Someone in Bible class this week mentioned how wonderful it is that the judge of all people on the last day is also our Savior. It's almost unfair, isn't it? We have an in. Our Savior, who loved us so, who suffered and died for us, is also the judge of the universe. That's awesome. Who in the world really knows who Jesus is? Very few. You know him and you love him. But most people think about Jesus like they think about Gandhi. A nice man who did nice things. Although Jesus was born in such a cute way. But that's all they really think about him. You, however, know Jesus as your substitutionary sacrifice of atonement. You know him as the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. You know him as the Savior of your everlasting soul. And now you also know him as the judge of the universe. Who can accuse me? The devil tries. In fact, the name Satan means accuser, whereas the name devil means liar. So that's what Satan does. He runs up to God and he accuses us in front of the Lord. He says, look at those people that you call your people. Look at how awful they are. Look at the nasty thoughts they have and the sinful words they say and the sinful actions that they do. They don't deserve to be called your people. Cast them into hell to suffer forever. And the Father looks at the great accuser and he says, what in the world are you talking about? Those are my beloved baptized children. They have all been washed clean in the blood of Jesus Christ, my Son, who suffered completely for all of their sins. They are not sinful. They are holy because they are in Christ. And by the way, didn't my Son completely destroy your power? Didn't he pass all of your temptations to turn stones into bread, to jump off the tower, to worship you in exchange for the world? Didn't he completely take away all of your power by suffering and dying for the sins of the world? Never falling once for your tricks and temptations, and then rising from the dead to completely destroy any power you had left. You have nothing to say here. Who then can declare me guilty? Not Satan. Not the godless of this world. Not even your conscience. Because the Father in heaven calls you holy in Christ. Anyone who would accuse me now, anyone who would say that I am not God's child, say that Jesus' sacrifice isn't enough for my forgiveness and salvation, well, Isaiah says they are nothing but a moth-eaten garment. Isn't that a great picture? Such empty accusations against those whom the Father has justified are not much more than an old rag shirt full of holes that when you pick it up, most of it floats away in the breeze. Who among you worships the Lord and listens to the voice of his servant? Anyone who walks in darkness and who has no bright light, let him trust in the name of the Lord and let him lean on his God. So when times are dark painful or hopeless, or when guilt fills your heart, turn to Christ and trust in Christ, the only Son of the Father, your dear Savior from sin, whom Isaiah describes in such beautiful detail here, who lived perfectly in your place in life, who suffered and died in payment for all of your sins, and who rose from the dead to win your justification, and who now lives to make intercession for you, to guide your every step, and to finally take you into his paradise. That is the Christ who is worthy of our worship. Amen. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus.